I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two already. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down south, find Captain Brian Barrera. Usually he's in South Padre. I don't know where he's at this morning. Good morning, Brian. What's up?
Morning, sir. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Just getting up, moving around for another day on the water.
Day on the water. There you go. Well, your weather's been fairly nice here lately.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Good enough to fish comfortably, at least, compared to shoot last week. It was kind of miserable some of the days. It was rainy and everything.
I know it. It's a lot more fun fishing without all that old gear on, all bulked out, and feel like the Michelin man sometimes when you're all layered up.
Yeah, I was feeling like the Christmas Story kid for a while out there. Couldn't even, didn't have much maneuverability there. I could just,
I know it.
had about 60% of the motion that I could normally do in my body, but it was pretty good still. We did good. You know, we caught a bunch of, we've been doing good. We've been catching a bunch of snook and a bunch of trout, you know, since the last time we talked on Sunday.
Right.
But it's been pretty good, except for yesterday. Actually, was a bummer day. I went to load my boat up and started it, and then all of a sudden it turned off. Thing wouldn't turn back on me, and couldn't get it, so I had to push my trip back and take it to the mechanic, and turned out spark plugs was the issue, so he replaced my spark plugs for me, and I'm back on the water.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was real weird. He said it was weird, too, just a random spark plug issue.
That is strange. You never hear that anymore. I mean, you don't ever have to change spark plugs in these new vehicles nowadays.
That's what he was saying. He was saying, man, I've had some spark plugs come in here that were really, like, blown out. It's like, it's just weird. I changed the spark plugs, and she fired right up. So,
what engine are you running?
Suzuki 350.
Yeah, man, you know, I don't ever hear much about
it. I never had any issues. That's the first time I've ever had any issues with it whatsoever. And
those spark plugs are what, like $20-25 a piece nowadays?
Something like that. It was five of them.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Might as well change them all.
Yeah, do the whole thing. Exactly.
Yep, but you know how that goes. With the boat, you always got to get
because
something.
The way the emissions are and everything now, I mean, everything burns so clean. You know, you wouldn't think of any kind of spark plug issues, especially with fouling like back in the old days. You know, you'd foul them all the time with that two-stroke stuff, but not with four.
Yeah, yeah. That's why my mechanic was pretty shocked. He's like, it was weird. He's like, the spark plugs still look good. I just replaced them and it started working. It's kind of crazy. So
that is. Wow.
Who knows what it was. Maybe one was loose or something. But
did you go test run it?
Yep.
Okay.
It just wouldn't even start normally. Now it starts and cruises, so good to go.
Isn't that something? Never heard of that.
Me neither. Let's keep our fingers crossed for today, though.
Yeah, well, get your trip in. Pretty good numbers on Snook right now. Are you catching numbers?
Yep. This is the time of year where we're putting some numbers up. You know, if I don't catch at least a dozen Snook a day, then I consider it a slow day.
Right.
But I've actually been on the flats the last 2 days. I've been chasing redfish and trout, and it's been pretty good. We've been getting limits of redfish and trout for the boat. I had a double 2 days ago, and we limited out in the morning and afternoon, but we released them all. Still playing catch and release, but I had an early morning sicko, Peter. He's a big fan. He calls in sometimes and stuff, he said. And
oh,
he
Peter Allfinger?
No.
Peter.
No, this is another Peter. He's from the Houston area. And he comes down a lot and does a lot of fishing. We went out and he caught his biggest redfish, his biggest trout.
Dang.
And then we went out on another trip and took his boat out. And we just did good limits of redfish and trout both days for a few people and released them. And just throwing little 1/8 ounce jigs, you know.
Right.
Worked out pretty good, you know, drifting. You know, we started off on the channel edge because there was no wind. We were working the trolling motor, catching a bunch of speckled trout like that. And then once the tide started pushing in, hopped back up on the flats in about 2 foot of water and started drifting. And we were drifting around, not catching much. A few fish here, one here, one there, one redfish. And then I saw two, like, very long slicks, like maybe just 150 yards to the east of me. Mm-hmm. And it almost looked like a slick, like a boat, had like a mud line from a boat driving through. Then I was like, let's put up there to see what's going on. I started seeing a bunch of mullet flicker up there, and it was just two long slicks. It wasn't like a big old boat stretch or nothing. It was just two big slicks. And I said, maybe they're going to be here. And it was, sure enough, there was a big school of you know, trout, redfish, and black drum mixed up. We were actually, you know, we caught a few black drum on artificial, so you know it's a big school, you know they're eating.
Yes.
Wow, catching drum on the lures in there.
Heck yeah, it's fun when you get them ganged up together like that, all three species.
Yeah, we wore them out, and, you know, that was kind of a sun-up to sunset day. We had a fish a double, and ended the day with a nice double hookup on, like, you know, the school of reds were big, too. It wasn't. Sometimes you get the schools and it's all 22s and 21s, you know, which is still good. But these were 26s, 27s, so.
Perfect.
Those are always a blast to set hook on, have them peel some drag. And we were catching a bunch of, like, you know, 22-inch trout in the mix also. No big 27s or anything, but it seemed like one of those spots that had the potential for it. You know, there was a bunch of 20 to 24-inch trout in there, and you feel like if you were to put the raptors down on the boat, hop out and wade and really pick it apart. You know, we were just drift fishing.
Yeah.
The wade fishermen probably go in there and end up pulling a couple biggins out of there.
I'm sure.
There's a lot of traffic on the flats right now, so we did a big long, you know, hour-long drift. We did a big long hour-long drift. And
they're skinny folks.
By the time I went back around the drift, there was bunch of boats kind of anchored up and wade fishing in the general area, so I couldn't get to it too well. I had to wait till the afternoon to go, but that Legends tournament's happening down here right now, so that's why there's a lot of dudes out here wade fishing,
right,
doing Fort their thing, scouting out for that Mansfield tournament. Lots of them tend to run a little bit south, you know,
right?
So I've been seeing
a lot of
scouting dudes. Yep. Hopefully they have themselves a good tournament.
I'm sure they
will. I'll be snook fishing today, so I'm not going to be bothering any of them.
Good.
Let them
I'd rather go catch snook anyway, especially have a shot at one over 30 inches.
That's what I'm trying to do today.
You can't catch them that big unless you fish for them, man.
Yeah. And you got to be down there. You got to be on the bottom. You got to be grinding out for them. It's not necessarily too easy to do it, but.
You know, you mentioned you were throwing the 8-ounce jig heads. What are you throwing, like straight tails or paddle tails or what?
Yeah, jerk baits, 4-inch jerk baits, straight tail. Yeah,
straight tail. I got you.
Yep, we were throwing a purple chartreuse and like a key lime color, which is a chartreuse with a lime with like a line of white going through it.
Bait. Yeah, that's a good looking bait, man.
Yeah, I like that key lime color with a little chartreuse jig head. It was a pretty nice bait. They're attacking it too. It's good. Some of those good ones, you know, some days you catch in your fish, but you're catching them, you know, 10 feet from the boat, or they swipe it, they're tail slapping it, you know, barely poking it. You set the hook and there's nothing there when they're like, the bite's not that good. But this was a good bite, you know, where you cast it out there and when it hits the water at the very end of your cast, there's a redfish peeling line or whatever, you know, the fish are going out of their way to come search out the bait and hit it. It's how you can always tell when the bite's on fire, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes they're barely just eating it or whatever, like I said, and you set the hook and it's gone, or all of a sudden you hook a fish and he's foul hooked outside of the mouth, you know, like right in the chin or something, and you can tell he just grabbed the tail of your bait. And when you went to set the hook, you stuck him on the outside of the mouth, you know?
Right. That happens a lot, especially when they're a little lethargic.
An indicator
you're pushing the bait around. You're
really having to convince them to bite, yeah.
Under the bottom or the
lip. But when you throw it out there and by the time you click. Yeah. But if you throw it out there and by the time you click the bail over, there's something tugging on it, you know they're eating that day. And if you got a black drum eating the soft plastic, you know the fish are happy too, so.
Yeah. Guarantee you. They're hungry too. We'll black drum go to chasing down lures, they're hungry.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears today and tie on some heavier jigs and start bottom bouncing for some big snook and see what happens, see what we can get into.
Yeah, I remember one day we were catching just about every fish we caught was caught, you know, on jigs under the chin or, you know, under the bottom lip from the outside in. And my guys are going, why is this happening? I said, because we're working the bait just below them, and they're trying to push it down and stop it on the bottom. And when you feel them is when you set the hook, and that hook grabs them under there. I said, they're not sucking it in, you know, you're getting that thump like you should. They're trying to shove that bait down, holding on the bottom.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. I wish I could see, you know, how they have those cameras that they put on the back of those lines when they're trolling for marlins and stuff.
Right.
I always wish there was one that was small enough and light enough. Yeah, small enough and light enough one to see what's happening out there. I'd understand so much more about it. It'd be pretty awesome to see.
You know, other than a tuna blowing up on a pop in topwater, I saw somebody was reeling a fish in. I saw the video the other day. That's got to be the most massive, awesome blow-up there is a grouper, a big Warsaw grouper blown up on a bait. That's crazy.
Oh, man, yeah. You see some people
feeding like dropping a bomb in the water.
Yeah, you see the people feeding the grouper and stuff like that on the edge of the docks in Florida, and they come up and blow some stuff up. It sounds like somebody throws a cinder block in the water.
Yep.
There's that one video of that guy who's trying to feed that fish with his mouth. That arapaima or whatever, and it blows up the bait and knocks him unconscious, and he falls in the water. I don't know if you saw that video.
No, I hadn't seen that one. I'll look for it.
Yep.
Came up. I saw one where a guy on the beachfront, they reeled a big tarpon in, and he gets on his knees in the water, like by the, you know, shore break there, and he's bear hugging this tarpon. That tarpon started flopping, and he headbutted him and knocked him smooth out. I've seen that one before.
Ugh, ouch.
I mean, at least a 100-pound tarpon. I mean, a big one. And he just, you know, bear hugs it. I think the hook came out of something.
You got to be careful. They'll do that to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it goes to flopping and his head against yours, you're not going to win.
No.
You're out.
I've seen a lot of people with broken noses and split teeth, split lips and everything like that from trying to land the tarpon. I've gotten whacked myself plenty of times. Luckily, I've never gotten into a headbutt match with one, but
no.
I've been tail slapped a whole lot.
I got tail slapped between the legs, if you know what I mean, by a giant red one time, and that cured me.
Yeah, that'll make you bring your net back out pretty quick.
Start using the boga grips on him again. I had him grab behind the head, and he, wow, woke me up.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
All right, buddy. Well, Brian, you have a good day out there. Hope you catch him up. Hope your boat runs right and all that good stuff. Give some info if somebody wants to call you about coming down to Port Isabel.
Sure, I've definitely got some dates available. This is the time of year when I'm got some dates free, ready to fish. So give me a call, area code 956-755-9413, or visit the website, inshorefishingsouthpadre.com.
All right, buddy. Well, you have a good one. It's always fun talking to you, Brian. Catch him up, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, see you, man. All right. That's Captain Brian Barrera down at South Padre. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 518 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Texas City. Let's check in with our good friend at Boys One Stop and the Texas City Dyke, Mr. Dave Fremont. Good morning, Dave. How you doing, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Good morning to you, sir.
It looks like it's going to be a good one, too.
Yes. Looks like a good day ahead of us. It's what the weather people
are saying
anyway.
Yeah, the windshield wipers aren't on. That's a good sign.
Yes, sir.
And,
I agree.
There's no mosquitoes beating on the windows. So that's two good things. And from what I can tell out here and making my ride to the end of the dike and back, I'm looking forward to that sunrise coming up. Of course, I look forward to all of them, man. You don't want to miss them. But there's a potentially beautiful sunrise going to make it with this break in the cloud cover. It looks like things are clearing up, and what clouds we do have in the distance ought to be nice. But I did see a flash of lightning when I was driving in from League City and got just right there at 146 there on Palmer Highway in Texas City. I saw a flash back in the bay, or gulf, I should say.
Yeah, out over the gulf. Yeah, there's probably still some rain out there. It's kind of straight south and east of Galveston, and some rain showers moving up through Louisiana this morning.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be good. I'm looking at the bay flags, and they're kind of lazy, and the water was just about slick when I pulled up. I made my run out there about 30 minutes ago, and things are just shaping up to be very nice this morning. The atmosphere is a lot cleaner than it has been. Things have really, really cleared up, and it's going to be nice. I noticed the atmospheric conditions are what we call kind of stretched out. We got some skip on the AM radio. You can hear some other stations, like, you know, when we used to use the old transistor radios, you could at times you could tune in some stations way far off because the what they call the skip would bounce a lot further from the atmosphere, and you'd pick up radio stations from all over the place when normally you'd only have about 100 miles or so where you'd pick up stations. But it's wide open this morning. It's going to be nice. Everything looks really clean. The Galveston Bay is lit up all the way around with everything from industrial lighting to you name it.
Industrial lighting. I got you. Kidding, right?
That's the lighting that even carries a smell. It's
smelly lighting.
The flares are going. Yeah.
Did you see anybody fishing when you went out on a dock this morning? Any takers?
Just one guy had his window down in the truck, and he had his big rod stuck in the door in the window. So I think he was sleeping with his reel. But I didn't see anybody actually out there physically standing on the rocks holding their rod yet. But
well, the weather's too nice for those dicons, man. I remember watching those videos during the snow, you know. People are on the dike fishing. You can see a redfish flopping in the snow there by the rocks. And I'm going, guy's beard had ice in it. And I'm going, man, they're getting their time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was tickled to see that. I've been out there under some cold conditions back when we would actually have winters and falls. And during, you know, the late end of the flounder runs into late November and early December. Some cold days out there, but not snow, not like we had this time in this freaky mess. But like we always say, this weather can change in a heartbeat, and it usually does. But I enjoyed been listening to y'all, especially with the guys that you got that fish up around the lakes, and this when you talk about it. I love it because we've got such a, I hate to use that word anymore, diverse and diversity. They've thrown that word into the ground, but
yeah,
things are wide open here to where we've got accessibility to fresh water and salt water. But I will say, and I've probably told you too many times already, that I know very, very little about freshwater fishing because I grew up right here off of Bay Street in Texas City.
Well,
and the only
right.
freshwater we...
You're a bay you know, rat, didn't, man.
A dike rat for sure.
A dike rat.
I haven't.
Rat. Flats rat.
I haven't. The only lake time that I've had has been, my brother lives over in a little podunk town. Well, it's getting bigger. It's called Orangefield. It's in between Vider and Orange. And when he taught school there for many, many years, back in the mid-70s on up, it was a little old town that I don't even think they had a flashing red light for a while. It might have been a 1A school, but he made a career of it there. But he's always been a well, he was a chemistry teacher, but he really liked geology and rocks and
right
fossils and arrowheads and all that. And he's amassed a collection over the years that really opens the eyes of even some of the universities. He's in cahoots with, I think it's Sam Houston State, where they borrow and use some of his relics from all kind of fossils and stuff, Mickey, and arrowheads. But I would hang out with him up there, and we would go up to Rayburn, and I couldn't tell you a Rayburn from a damn bee or any of that stuff, but we would go up there, and he would wait until the lake levels would drop. And when Rayburn, I think it was, would get down like 10 feet below normal or whatever, that exposed some of these islands and spoils in the lake. And that's when his mouth would start watering. He'd like to hit those spoils and hunt for arrowheads and stuff.
All right.
And I'd go with him. And one day we were out there walking around. We had thrown the anchor out and got out of the boat and was walking around one of them spoils. And honestly, Mickey, I couldn't care that much for arrowheads and stuff. It didn't matter. It was just a rock to me. But I picked up a point, and it was made out of petrified palm. You know, if people from around up there know that there's good chunks of petrified palm to be found, and it's a collector's item for a lot of people. But anyway, it's a beautiful little rock. But I picked that arrowhead up, and I was looking at it, and I walked over to him and showed it to him, and he started hooting and hollering. He told me exactly what kind of indents made that and what the name of the point was and all that. And I said, really? He says, yeah. Mickey, I hummed that thing out across the bay. It skipped about six or seven times before it sunk. And I never realized just how much that hurt that boy. I was just funning, you know. But anyway, he said, you idiot, you. And he carried to this day, he'll still bring that up when he's talking to other people. He said, out there in Rayburn, there's a point that I'd sure like to have. And that was that one. But
man,
that's about it on as far as the lakes and stuff. We fished a little bit out there, but I just never could get connected up with it that well. But
right.
Boy, you mentioned that 13-pound bass. Now, that'd wake me up
in
a hurry.
Yeah, I did find that. Finally, it came back up on my phone. It was a young man from Dallas. His name was Dylan Sorrells. It was a 1364 caught out of Richland Chambers on Sunday, this past Sunday. So,
man, oh,
beautiful
man.
Beautiful fish.
You ain't kidding. That is nice. Anybody would love to have seen that fish, catch it, turn it loose again, whatever. You know, that's a beautiful fish, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'll go into the Sharelunker program, and they'll get eggs out of that good DNA, and raise more bass with that DNA strain and put them back in the water for us. That's cool stuff.
That ain't nothing but good stuff, that's for sure.
That's it. All it can do is help.
Yeah. Well, Mickey, the bait situation looks pretty doggone good. I think our friends across the street, at least, I see their flags are going too. We'll probably have a little demand for live shrimp and such. We've got live shrimp, mud minnows, and finger mullet flags going, red, green, and white. And it looks like everything's looking good. It's been a pretty good week, even with the rain and stuff, for crawfish as well. We opened up Santa Fe, Mickey. Got the Santa Fe location going for the first time.
I saw everybody online asking when y'all were going to do it. So I guess y'all started getting enough in to make it worth your while.
Well, it's kind of crazy because Jason never reads the Facebook stuff. Shoot, he ain't got time to look at any of that stuff. He just wants to make sure we got something going on it. But I wrote a little thing saying, because so many people have been asking about Santa Fe. I said, man, just profit wise, or you know, we just can't do it because there's not enough crawfish, and what it takes with labor and the cost of going over there and setting everything up, and it's just hadn't added up. But I'll be doggone if later on that night he messaged me saying, hey, we're going to open up Santa Fe tomorrow. that's what we did. We went over there and set up, and I put the word out and had a tremendous turnout for the first day. And of course, he put some great prices out on it, way too low, I'm sure. But anyway, he did what he did, and we sold out both days. I'm pretty sure. I know we did in Texas City. Mm-hmm. But the crawfish are young and early, and they've got a lot of growing to do overall. But it's such a good thing to see them this year compared to last year at this time. And the predictions are still holding up good. You know, I kind of thought maybe that snow and the crawfish ponds were frozen, but the crawfish took it well. They stayed up underneath that ice, and I think in some cases when the snow might have actually even acted like an insulator. I don't know.
But, well, they bury up in the mud, too. They're able to survive that cold like that, kind of like a crab is.
Yeah.
You know, you can freeze a crab and thaw it out, and it'll come back to life.
I know that oh so well. In fact, people aren't going to believe it, but even some cryo crabs, some of them that's actually been frozen down to about 20 below, have actually, I don't know how or why, but they've actually thawed out and come alive. But
you don't remember that when you were a kid, you'd go crabbing, you'd come home and you'd stick one in the freezer, and your mom would be yelling at you, why you got that crab in the freezer? Well, we want to freeze it and watch it come back to life. We'd pull it out of there the next day and then set it on the concrete out there, watch it start moving again.
No, I don't remember about a crab, but I do remember when we were kids and we'd go out and we'd either catch a big king snake or maybe a rat snake, you know, a chicken snake or whatever, and we'd always be figuring out who got the longest one. So we'd take them and put them in a refrigerator, and then in about 30 minutes they get chilled, and you can just stretch them out, and they'll get as straight as a yardstick. But man, I forgot and left that thing in there, and my mom opened that refrigerator up, and oh man, I think she whooped me. I think she whooped me with that snake.
Probably got a whipping with the snake. Exactly. I'll never forget the look on my wife's face one time. I remember when Mickey Ray, my son, shot his first speckle belly. He's a little tyke, and when he came home, I cleaned all the birds, and he wouldn't let me clean it. I want to show it to Mama and all that. I said, well, it's going to go bad. No, it'll be fine. Well, he stuck it in the refrigerator. And I didn't know he did that. She comes home and gets ready to cook supper and opens the refrigerator, and there's a dead goose. And that didn't go over too well. But he had to show his mom his first speckle belly.
There you go. A country boy can survive.
That's it, man. Only one way to roll, right, brother. Ah, well.
It'll be all right.
Well, good deal. I'm glad crawfish are showing up. And I did see an article from a biologist at LSU talking about, you know, the crawfish industry, and said it was going to be okay. Everything looks good. So that was good to see.
We're very thankful and hope that things will hold up, because folks deserve a good year. The prices were so bad last year, along with the availability. Man. That goes hand in hand, but we've had I think we'll be a little light today. From what I saw Jason and the crew working last night, of course, I watch them from home. I'm able to kind of peek at a couple of the cameras in the warehouse, and it just didn't look as heavy as far as the incoming crawfish as they have been doing. But sometimes I don't see what all is going on the camera. So I'm fixing to walk in there and do a walkthrough and look in the coolers and stuff and see what's going on. We'll have a little better. I'll post something on Facebook after a while if we've got stuff that we can put out. I don't know if Santa Fe will be open, and I hope so, and I think it probably will. And, of course, the grill will be up and running. But 227 Dyke Road, right here at the base of the Tech City Dyke Boys, one stop, 409-945-4001. Thanks for letting me slide that info in there, Mickey. And once again, man, it's going to be a nice weekend. It's going to be good. Looking forward to it. Everybody be safe, and see you on the dyke.
All right, buddy. Dave, always a pleasure. Talk to you next week. You be safe, buddy.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
See you. All right. All right, that's Mr. Dave Fremont down at Boyd's One Stop in Texas City. Well, folks, if you're going fishing, don't. Not till you've been to the 50th annual fishing show. That's going on February 12th through the 16th in Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center. We're talking everything for fishermen. You know, all the new rods, reels, and lures. Factory reps there to help you with any questions you have. And now I have guides and outfitters from Alaska to South America and dozens of fully rigged boats on display, along with the hundreds of kayaks during the week. Clinics by expert fishermen covering salt and fresh water. And don't forget about the kids' clinic on Saturday and Sunday. That's always a big hit for a good family outing on the weekend. So if you love to fish or just want to learn more about it, especially in this area, don't miss the 50th Annual Houston Fishing Show. That's coming up February 12th through the 16th at George R. Brown Convention Center. Check them out at HoustonFishingShow.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 5:39 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. That's a wrapper up with old Captain Steve Hillman this morning. I think we found him in deep South Texas this morning. Steve, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. I'm just sitting here having a cup of coffee, enjoying this cool weather.
Yep. It's a very nice morning.
Going to head out here in about an hour. Going to sit in a box blind this morning. I'm not going to bow hunt this morning. Probably bow hunt this evening. But
taking a rifle again, with you?
Last weekend of doe and spike season. So we came down Wednesday, Dad and I, Wednesday afternoon. But typical, we've done nothing but work since we got here. This morning will be my first time to hunt. So,
well, what took you so long?
Always something.
There's no work to be done down there, man.
Oh, man. You don't even know.
I like that picture you sent me the other night by the campfire. Your dad sitting out there having a cold one sitting next to the fire. Living life,
oh, yeah.
Man. Enjoying life. It don't get any better than that. Old Clifford.
It's pretty relaxing.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, we cooked a good dinner, and then Dad and I, it's just the two of us down here.
Oh, yeah, I got that photo, and I was jealous again. I think I had Vienna sausage and crackers for supper that night. No, just kidding.
Yeah, you're right. But now we're going to stay down through, come back Sunday.
Cool.
So I have to fish a couple of days on this coming week. I didn't even look at the forecast. I don't even know what it's going to do.
Looks like nice weather all week.
Oh,
the
good.
Weekend and end of the week, yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, that'll
man.
Be a pleasant change.
You think?
I fished Monday and Tuesday before we got here, and I just went by myself Monday afternoon. I went late. I didn't put the boat in until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Dang.
I waited for the... Well, I wasn't going to go at all. And,
right.
I had a trip that
couldn't
morning.
Couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I had a trip that morning, and it canceled, and the tide came in, and I just wanted to go check on some stuff that I was doing before the freeze.
Right.
And because I had a trip on Tuesday, you know, here in Galveston. And I went out there, man, I bounced around. I guess I put the boat in around 3:30, and I hit a couple of areas, caught one red. I didn't keep anything. Caught one red about 22 inches. Had a couple other bites, maybe bites. I mean,
yeah,
everything was real subtle. Water temperature was 48 and change. That was Monday. And tide was still super low when I started, but it was coming in. And I bounced around and went, and I couldn't catch anything. And I went back to an area that where I caught fish a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, in shallower water. And this made zero sense to me because the area I started in was near a really deep drop-off, just a long, deep gut,
yeah.
And those fish were piled in there before the front, before that big Arctic blast we had, you know, and the water temperatures were like in the 50s leading up to that, and I'm thinking, okay, they're really going to be piled in there since the front, and I didn't catch trout in there, and so I go back to an area I hadn't caught anything in a while, and it's like 3.5 feet deep, and it was every cast. It was just so bizarre to me that the fish were in opposite place that they,
right.
In my opinion, should have been. You know, they were up shallow. relatively speaking.
Trying to get as much warmth as they can, man, after that blast.
I guess, but there was no sun that day. It was like
no, it's just the air, just that air temperature, you know, was warmer than the water, just a little bit.
I guess so.
Goes a long way. I mean, I've seen it in the past where we get these big blasts like that, and, I mean, as soon as you get on the upswing on temperatures, man, shallow's it, especially for reds. They crawl up on the bank, man.
Yeah. But I caught, I think, got 13 trout. I didn't lean on them because I was going to need them the next day.
Right, yeah.
And I caught 13. I had 11 legal trout. The biggest one was only like 19 inches. They're all just solid little fish. But
yeah.
And then I went and looked at some other stuff where I thought some fish should have been and never got a bite. And caught everything on worms. Caught everything on, I caught that red on a Texas roach, straight tail assassin, and then I caught everything else on the Laguna shrimp. I caught most of them on paddle tails, caught a few on straight tail. I don't know if it mattered. There's a pretty good patch of fish there.
Right.
But that was in the afternoon. That was late. I mean, it was probably around 4:30, 4:45 when those. Well, that's kind of when I got to those fish. I don't know how long they had been eating, but
yeah.
Anyway, so the next day, I had a guy that's been fishing me long, long time, Robert Dawson, and his buddy Kerry, and we started at daybreak. I mean, we started early, you know, complete opposite of what I'd done the day before, going late in the afternoon. And I had my doubt. I just, in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I hope we're not on an afternoon pattern for what I'm doing, because I'm starting, you know, in the morning. And sure enough, we couldn't hardly buy a bite that morning. And then we caught four or five dinks, moved around a bunch, and I went back to where I'd caught those fish the day before. And I guess we didn't catch our first legal fish till like 10:30 in the morning. But they never really ate. We just picked and pecked, and the tide got super, super low, like midday where I was on Tuesday, like super low. And I told you I was in 3.5 foot of water on a high tide the day before. So now I got like 1.2, 1.3
right.
Where those fish were the day before. And it just, everything changed, you know. And I started to run them in the afternoon, you know, take Robert and Kerry in the afternoon, but the forecast showed the wind picking up. And, it's just this time of year, it's the stars kind of have to align a little bit, at least for what I'm doing. But we ended up, we caught 10 or 12 legal fish. I had one that was almost 23 inches. It was the biggest trout. Nothing great. It was a real fat one. I didn't weigh it, but I don't know. It was probably 4 pounds or something, probably. But but no reds, no flounder, just all trout. But it never went off. And then we came in around 1:30. But, you know, I just think that tide changed so much. And the water, it tried to hit 50. I think it was real foggy Tuesday, super foggy.
Yeah, it was.
And the sun never came out, never thought about it. And the water temp, I think the highest water temp I saw was like 49.8, you know. But I don't know. I think next week our tides are going to be a little higher and stuff, and I'll be able to hit a few more of the areas that I've been wanting to get back to. But
yeah, we had quite a bit of water this morning when I come into the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're back to normal now on water temps, pretty much 54 to 55 everywhere.
Yeah, and that's a good range. That's
yeah,
a good
it is.
Range
I like that. 55 to 58, that's real good for this time of year.
Yeah. But you know what I've found, both of those days, the fish were anywhere there's like a bend or a point or any kind of where current, you know, we had a lot of tide. It was either going out real hard or coming in real hard. And like, if you just got on a shoreline, on a straight shoreline, even if there was a little bit of structure, you couldn't hardly get a bite. But it caught everything around points, like where the
ambush
where the,
ambush
yeah.
areas, man.
And
current related.
And the water was in pretty good shape. You know, water's real cold, so all the algae and plankton's dead and all that good stuff. But, you know, that's why these lighter colors. Pink's always a good color this time of year, but that Laguna shrimp has just been almost impossible to beat the last month or two. And the funny thing is, I threw mirror lures and I threw sinking lilies, and I did have one on a lily, and it pulled off, but I haven't hardly been able to catch a fish on a hard bait. It's been crazy. It's been all tails for me. And I have some buddies, and they're in a different part of the bay altogether, but they're catching most of their fish on twitch baits. So it's really strange how the different areas, and a lot of it could be the operator. It could be me. But, you know, I don't know. It's just the tail's been working better for me. And straight retrieve, like, you know, a lot of times all you have to do is just kind of flatline it. Mm-hmm. That's not working for me at all. You got to cast it out, let it sink to the bottom, and jig it just the conventional way, you know, pop it up and let it fall. And they're barely just breathing on it, like right before it hits the bottom. And when you feel that little tap, you better set the hook. You're not going to get them. And that's been a problem for a few of the guys. But bites were real soft. I'm sure that'll change. But I'm just glad that fishing's decent, you know, in different parts of the bay. I have some buddies that have been doing pretty good. One buddy of mine, him and his girlfriend, they caught 56, 58 trout one day, you know. I mean, I know we lost a few, but I don't think we lost that many fish. So that's good news.
Well, that's good to hear, my friend.
Now, survived another one. Get out here and have a couple of good hunts and bring some meat home. I haven't really hunted seriously all season. I think I've only set a blind three times, but I haven't killed a deer, I don't think, in 2 years. I don't have any deer meat in the freezer at all, and I normally have these picnic sticks made, these Slim Jims made, and I bring them on all my fishing trips. And I didn't have any the whole year, and everybody gets my boat and they open my cooler, like, you know, they want a snack, and they're like, "Where are your Slim Jims?" I said, "I don't have any. I didn't get any made."
Boat food. That's good.
Yeah,
boat
man,
food.
They're great. That summer sausage, slice it up. But hopefully, I can get something done here. I did see a pretty mature spike, which I couldn't believe. It was a real big body spike. Most of the spikes you see are a year and a half, but I went down to the big pond on the golf cart yesterday evening. I was just kind of creeping around with binoculars, and it was a spike, and his hocks were dark and everything. You're not going to see dark hocks on a 1.5-year-old spike.
No. Sure not.
Pretty big body deer, but
He may have
we'll
to.
See. I'm looking forward to
be
it.
A good one to make Slim Jims out of.
For sure. And pigs, my God, we have pigs everywhere. I'm about to do something about that in the next couple of days, too.
Yeah, you might want to pack a bunch of bullets.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice here this morning, man. It's like 46 degrees and dead calm.
Right.
It's going to be a nice morning for hunting.
Well, we can all live with that. It looks like a very nice weekend sizing up for us. Hope nothing changes. You know how that works, though. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, buddy, if somebody wants to get with you when you get back in town and do some spring Galveston Bay fishing with you, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, man, I've got some holes, so give me a holler. 409-256-7937. You hear these coyotes?
Yeah.
They're going crazy.
Coyotes. All right. Song dogs, man. All right. Well, tell Clifford hello, and it's always a pleasure talking, Steve. You have fun down there. Catch them up and whatever you got to do to get them.
All right. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, buddy. Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,